So it's a beginning of development or bhavana.
I think she's saying if there is a degree of wisdom, because Sarah's question was, is all moments with wisdom a form of mental development? And so Ajahn is saying, well, even if it's just a moment where one sees someone else taking life and thinking, I will not do that. Mm-hmm. If that is a wholesome moment with wisdom, then it leads to further
it's
development.
Like the footsteps that will, or the groundwork that will lead to more wisdom.
Because even such thinking is hardly arise. That's mm-hmm. why when it arises, it shows some accumulation mm-hmm. for such thinking.
More likely you'll think, I would never do something like that. Mm-hmm. And then that wouldn't be a wholesome moment mm-hmm. at all. Just
or there's aversion.
Or there's aversion.
And we read or hear about how the qualities such as sati and panya have to become balas, or powers have to become so strong. So for the noble disciple, they've become powers. Does it follow on from this that for such a person they can arise in any situation or any time? Because again, it would depend on conditions, when there is the powerful wisdom or when the powerful sati arising.
Yeah. This is the distinction between Indriya and Bala as the factors of the enlightenment, the 37 factors. So it doesn't mean the other time.
It just means at that particular time of becoming enlightened.
Of developing. Understanding,
yes.
Satipatthana.
Yes.
Because you see that usually at the beginning, when there is a kusla, one is so very troubled about one's own akusla. But when it's pala,
yes.
See, it's different.
It's just conditioned mm-hmm. dharma.
No matter it's akusla of what degree, it can be object of understanding. That's why it has to be with the satipatthana.
And this is the meaning of bala or power. Yeah. And does it mean that when it has been developed to this degree, that any time or any situation the sati and panya will be of such a degree that knows or not?
When it's firm,
okay.
Is it useful to reflect on, to think about one's own previous unwholesomeness with a view to recognizing it, and is that helpful for the future non-arising of the same unwholesomeness?
Do you mean that the answer will be followed?
Does it necessarily follow? Yeah, no.
See, just tell about which is which and what is what. Yes. That's all.
The answer may not be followed, but if it's a kusala moment when you are thinking about, so I know I'm thinking about that anger that arose back then, does not that become an accumulation which will lead to further development?
Kusala moment? No need to think about whether it will condition or it will help.
Right.
Yeah.
And then don't force.
Mm-hmm. And when you said with regard to the bala or being firm, this is the difference between indriyas and balas. Can you elaborate?
Because what are the 37 factors
include the indriyas and the balas, yes. So there has to be distinction in the power or the degree or the firmness. And we know that kilesa or defilements cannot be eradicated unless they arise and are known for what they are. So for example, if there are no conditions for mana or ditti to arise, then it can't be known for what it is. Now, when it comes to attachment, does that mean that each particular kind of attachment has to arise and be known for what it is? For example, I'm thinking of something like some subtle kinds of attachment, or something like bhava tanha. We know the latent tendency or the attachment to rebirth, for example, must be there, but it doesn't arise, it doesn't appear. In order to eventually be eradicated, every kind of tanha has to arise and appear and be known for what it is.
Even we talk about next life, what is next life again? See? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So whenever there is attachment to these realities, it means that that is the pavatana.
I see. Right. Because we think, oh, well, I'm not that bothered about next life or something. Mm. But actually, at this moment of attachment to seeing, one would like the seeing to continue, or one would like more seeing or more visible objects to appear tomorrow. So this is bhava tanha, is it, even now, even no thought of next life. So it has to be known and seen.
Something else we were chatting about earlier on the trip was how when one sees, for example, a person one hasn't seen for a long time, sanya recognizes immediately, even though there's been a total change in the appearance, but sanya recognizes something about the individual.
Something is left as the sign of that person.
That's what we were talking about.
Some would say that your eyes are not different at all from many years ago.
Right.
See?
Yes.
Something is left.
Right, because the eyes don't age as such. But what about the mannerisms and all those things, the signs
anything,
too, are they?
Anything, yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
We were exploring, though, how sanya is able to distinguish amongst the changes what has not changed.
Because sanya always marks.
Marks.
Yeah.
So, the first time, it marks everything. And then, 20 years later, it can still mark what is left, even though some of the marks are not there.
If you turn from Kunme to other person, then I couldn't recognize.
It marks and remembers what has been marked before.
So it has everything that is needed to recognize.
So that takes us maybe back to when we were talking about the sameness of objects. Sanya knows that sameness.
Because sanya arises with each moment of citta.
Yes.
Back to my question about bhava tanha and attachment to seeing and hearing now and more seeing and hearing in future. What about rupa bhava and arupa bhava, about attachment to life in rupa brahma realms or arupa brahma realms? Well, I would say the same thing, that kind of attachment doesn't arise or appear now, but in the same way, could one say attachment now to not having visible objects or anything?
Well, one is saying I'm attached to Rupa Brahma, actually that person is attaching to what? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. As long as that person hasn't attained that stage yet.
So it's still just its attachment to sense objects, and the same with arupa brahma.
That anyone is attached to arupa brahma, to be arupa brahma?
Well, maybe some people who have...
I don't
have,
think so. No. They like to see, they like to hear.
Yes. So what about the one who has developed a lot of wisdom and Aryan, who hasn't developed jhanas? Does the reality of that kind of attachment have to be known or appear?
There are sukha vipassaka without jhana and with jhana. So they know the accumulation and ability.
Right. So because one reads or hears that all kinds of tanha have to appear and be known. So for example, the anagami who is a sukha vipassaka, does there have to be any awareness of rupa brahma tanha or rupa brahma tanha, or not necessary because it doesn't appear?
It's said that for the anagami who will be reborn, because anagami must be reborn in rupa brahma,
yes,
because of the kotarapu, which when it's anagami, it's called vodana, is conditioned for being born in Rupa Brahma world. Because the anagami conditions the anagami pala, no rebirth at all. So the function of being reborn in the Rupa Brahma is the vodana, which is the kotarapu.
And the anagami still has bhava tanha, but if he's sukha vipassaka, not necessarily rupa brahma or arupa brahma tanha. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. I understand.
Ajahn, this is a question from Phil, one of the guys on the list. And this is what he asks. He says, I heard only kamapatha gives rise to vipaka. I was surprised. I thought any gusala or akusala jetana would be kama if that would be vipaka in seeing, hearing, etc. Life is so full of them. How could they all be the resultant of kamapatha, which seems rarer?
Can one seed produce only one seed? For example, when we plant rice, only one seed of rice will produce only one seed.
So kama, whether it's thought, word, or deed, is doesn't...
It's kamapatha.
It's all kamapatha.
So when it's kamapatha, can it only produce one grain of rice or many? So the one seed can produce many grains, many results.
But your question is about each moment of akusala citta, not akusala kama.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Okay.
Okay, so when you just buy things, what kama is that?
When
you
I just
produce what kind of result?
You were shopping a minute ago.
Oh, shopping. It's agusala, so it's going to produce... shopping is agusala. it's lopa. She asked, what would be the result of it?
So is it common, ordinary attachment, or will it bring results? Or is it common, ordinary attachment, or is it kamapatha?
I'm not sure.
Because there are two different pachya, the kamapachya and the pakatupanisya pachya. All kinds of akusala and kusala is pakatupanisya pachya. And even only one moment of kusala is pakatupanisya to condition the next moment later. But pakatupanisya pachya is not kamma pachya. You see that we have to think about many things, like all jetanas are kamapatya. See, no matter it is jetana which arises with vipaka or kusala, akusala or kriya. Whenever it is jetana jetasika, it is kamapatya.
Okay.
Not just the akusala kamma or akusala kamma. Even the arahata has kriya citta. And so jetana is kriya, but still it is kamapachya, because it is the sahachata kamapachya, arising together with other realities, but it is not the nanakanika kamapachya, which will produce the result at different times, not at the same time, like sahachata pachya. So sometimes it says that even the jetana with the kusala or akusala moments in the senses process is also kamapachya. But we have to know better than that, that it can be sahachata kamapachya, but it's not like nanakanika kamapachya. It can accumulate, and it can condition like the support of kamma, but not the exact kamma. But kamma needs other support too.
So to put it simply, there were two questions here. One question was whether all kamma brings results. So at the moment of kusala and akusala, there is kamma, there is chetana, but does it all bring result? And the answer is no, because it's not or kamapatha. So when we're enjoying buying the clothes or the trinkets, there's attachment, it's akusala. and it is a support for Karmapata. But in order to be Karmapata, there have to be certain factors in place, like one might dislike an insect, but unless there's the intention to kill the insect and the action and the insect there to be killed, it's not actually Karmapata that will bring a result on its own, but that disliking the insect can support the Karmapata. So that was one question and answer. And the second question was, how come there are so many results, so many moments of seeing a visible object from so relatively few moments of Karmapata? And the answer is, like the seed, one seed doesn't just produce one grain of rice. One seed can produce many grains of rice.
Otherwise, it's no need to mention the akusala kamapata. See, if all akusala can be akusala kama, but there are akusala jitas and akusala kamapata. And the factors of each akusala kamapata, like five factors for killing.
We have to distinguish between decisive support condition, paku, panisya, pachya, and karmapachya. Otherwise, it would be the same.
But in everyday life, we would not know necessarily which of the conditions is in operation.
We do know that when it's just common, ordinary attachment, we know that it's not karmapata. You know, it's not the attachment that's taking the object that belongs to someone else. For example, it's just admiring the book.
Otherwise, what's the difference between the pakutupanisyapachya and karmapachya? Even the cetasika is the same cetasika. Cetana cetasika can be karmapachya and pakutupanisya, but these two conditions are different.
The same cetasika can operate as two different conditions.
Okay.
I have lots of different backgrounds on the tape for the discussions. Sometimes birds, sometimes waterfall. Today is shopping. Shopping background.
It's all in the tape.
Yeah, it's all on the tape, yeah.
Must be real.
It reminds us where we were.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now we're definitely in Kashmir. Yeah.
Shopping is Kashmir. Yeah.
Talking about Karmapata, the urge to break the precepts is eradicated by experiencing the noble truths. Would you say a little bit more about that? So when there has been the experience of the noble truths, no more urge to harm insects or break the precepts or take the book, or no more thought even about breaking the precepts. Would you say a little more about the connection?
Yeah, experiences the noble truth, especially the third one, the Nibbana as object. It's the moment of nothing is like that moment at all, so what's the use of clinging? Or when it can stop the thinking of the breaking precepts, yeah.
Because of having experienced Nibbana, the unconditioned Dharma, so one fully appreciates the total uselessness
of the truth of all, not just the arising and falling away of the conditioned realities. It's incomparable, as one thinks that to have attachment is so great, but actually it's not. Having none is much better.
And there's no insect anyway.
Before becoming a sotapanna, the panya grows, it understands better and better of realities as not self.
So no more idea of an insect or animal to be hurt.
But before that stage, there can be a kind of thinking of, I'm just remembering while you're talking about this about insects,